J. Edgar Hoover went to war at the age of 22, on Thursday morning, July 26, 1917. He walked out of his boyhood home in Washington, D.C., and set off for his new life at the Justice Department to serve as a foot soldier in the army of lawmen fighting spies, saboteurs, communists, and anarchists in the United States. America had entered World War I in April. The first waves of her troops were landing in France, unprepared for the horrors that faced them. On the home front, Americans were gripped by the fear of sabotage by German secret agents. The country had been on high alert for a year, ever since an enemy attack on a huge warehouse of American munitions bound for the battlefront. The blast at Black Tom Island, on the western edge of New York Harbor, had set off 2,000 tons of explosives in the dark of a midsummer night. 7 people died at the site. In Manhattan, thousands of windows were shattered by the shockwaves. The Statue of Liberty was scarred by shrapnel. Hoover worked for the War Emergency Division at the Justice Department, charged with preventing the next surprise attack. He displayed a martial spirit and a knack for shaping the thinking of his superiors. He won praise from the division's chief, John Lord O'Brien. "He worked Sundays and nights as I did," O'Brien recounted. "I promoted him several times, simply on merits." Hoover rose quickly to the top of the division's Alien Enemy Bureau, which was responsible for identifying and imprisoning politically suspect foreigners living in the United States. At the age of 23, Hoover oversaw 6,200 Germans who were interned in camps and 450,000 more who were under government surveillance. At 24, he was placed in charge of the newly created Radical Division of the Justice Department, and he ran the biggest counterterrorism operations in the history of the United States, rounding up thousands of radical suspects across the country. He had no guns or ammunition. Secret intelligence was his weapon. Hoover lived all his life in Washington, D.C., where he was born on New Year's Day, 1895, the youngest of 4 children. He was the son and the grandson of government servants. His father, Dickerson, was afflicted with depression. Deep melancholy cost him his job as a government cartographer and likely hastened his death. His mother, Annie, was doting but dour. Hoover lived at home with her for the first 43 years of his life until the day she died. He told several of his closest aides that he remained a single man because he feared the wrong woman would be his downfall. A bad marriage would destroy him. Hoover's niece, Margaret Fennell, grew up alongside him. She stayed in touch with him for 6 decades. She knew him as well as anyone could. "I sometimes have thought that he really, I don't know how to put it, had a fear of becoming too personally involved with people," she reflected. If he ever expressed love beyond his devotion to God and country, there were no witnesses. He was sentimental about dogs, but unemotional about people. His inner life was a mystery, even to his immediate family and his few close friends. Hoover learned how to march in military formation and how to make a formal argument. The drill team and the debate team at Central High School were the highlights of his youth. Central High's debate squad was the best in the city, and Hoover became one of its stars. His school newspaper praised his competitive spirit and his cool, relentless logic. He told the paper, after a stirring victory over a college team, that debating had given him a practical and beneficial example of life, which is nothing more or less than the matching of one man's wit against another.